9:33, you are listening to the Basic Fiqh program, and we do have Mufti Zubair Bayat online. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We trust that you are doing well this morning, inshallah, Mufti Sahab.
Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yourself, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah.
Very good, excellent.
Mufti Sahab, unfortunately, one of the realities that we have to embrace in life and we have to come to terms with is the division of the Ummah and the people at large. And this is something which was prophesied previously by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already. However, the important thing to keep in mind is that to be with the right people and to be on a straight path. So perhaps Mufti Sahab can enlighten us with regards to the division and how to save ourselves in those times, Mufti Sahab.
Okay, definitely, Maulana, what you're saying is quite correct. That this is the one of the unfortunate things, but it's a fact, it's a reality, and we have to accept this reality, and we have to adapt to the situation we find ourselves in so that we are not caught up in any wrong things. Nevertheless, you know, one is disunity as a result of different groupings that are formed, and one is the issue of difference of opinion. Difference of opinion is not necessarily disunity. Difference of opinion is a natural thing. It can happen in between the most pious, the most sincerest, and the most righteous of people. It has happened between Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded it in the Holy Quran with no reprimand to anyone for holding a different opinion. For example, the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam and his father Dawood alayhi salam. Now both are Nabis, both are Anbiya, and they are father and son.
Subhanallah.
But they differed in a particular matter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَفَهَمْنَا سُلَيْمَانَ وَكُلَّنَا عَتِيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. But we gave the understanding of that particular issue to the son, Sulaiman alayhi salam. So difference of opinion is not anything that is harmful or detrimental. In fact, in a way it is a rahmah, it is a blessing. And it's a natural thing because Allah Ta'ala created the minds of people different, the intellect different, their ability to understand or analyze or view things different. So therefore you're going to have differing opinions. There's nothing wrong with a difference of opinion. So long as we remain within the boundaries of difference of opinion, therefore we say that you can have differing opinions as far as fiqh is concerned, that you have four schools that are known in the world, the Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali. Around the world, the Ummah has accepted these four differing schools. You can have a different opinion as far as political issues are concerned, social issues, medical issues, legal issues. But yes, one place where there's no difference of opinion that is accepted at all, and that is as far as the issue of belief and aqidah is concerned. There we will say that this is not a difference of opinion, this is a division. And that is prohibited. That is disunity. Difference of opinion is not necessarily disunity. Difference in aqidah and beliefs, that is disunity. That is divisions. And regarding this, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one narration that فَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَىٰ سَلَاثِ وَسَبْعِينَ مِلَّةً كُلُّهُمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا مِلَّةٌ وَاحِدًا مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي. I think to that extent the wording of the hadith goes that Bani Israel, the Jews, were divided into 71 groupings, and the Christians were divided into 72 groupings, and my Ummah will be divided into 73 groupings. Every one of them besides one will go to hellfire. In other words, out of the 73, 72 will go to hellfire. Except one out of that 73, and that is what is referred to as al-firqatu najiyah, the group that will attain najat and salvation. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it in his own words as ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, that group upon whom I and my companions are. And when we translate that in another way, we say the people of Sunnah and the people of the group, the Jama'ah, which we refer to in Arabic as Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah, that is those who follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal Jama'ah, the Jama'at of Sahaba, those who follow the Sahaba. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, it was then explained what this term, or a term was coined, a phrase was coined for this to describe it, as Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So besides Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, anyone who is outside of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they will be outside the pale of that group, who will be Firqatul Najiyah, the group that will be attain salvation, and the rest of the people will be destined to the fire of hell. May Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us.
Ameen, ameen.
So now, who are these groups and how do we recognize them? So this is a very important thing. It's very, very important. It's imperative for us as believers, as the people of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to know about these groupings and to avoid being part of these groupings so that we do not become caught up in the fitna of these groupings. Ulama have explained in detail in their writings about these groupings. They have named a number of them, etc. Now, the thing is, many of those groupings do not even exist in today's time, but others have taken their place. So regarding this narration of the 72 groupings, we have to remember a few things, or we have to keep a few things in mind. Number one, according to some ulama, 72 is not necessarily an exact figure, but it could refer to a large number, as is found in a practice, in a custom in Arabic language and usage, that 70 and above is regarded as a large number. Others say no, it is precisely 72, but as far as the 72 is concerned, there may be differing, there may be subdivisions, so sometimes the figure will go over 72. There are those who have counted up to more than 72. This was because they've taken subdivisions and strands. There may be a central grouping that has differing strands. For example, we take one group, off the top of my head now, I'm just thinking of, for example, the Khawarij. This is one deviated group, Maulana. But within the Khawarij, again, there are various groupings and strands. The Ibadiyya, who are found today in Oman and parts of Libya, etc., they are a grouping or a strand of the Khawarij. So like this, for that matter, there may be a central grouping, and then there's different strands, so obviously if one counts all of that, then there would be more than 72. So, any case, even for example, if we take the Rawafiz, who are known as the Shia, among them also there are so many strands and groupings. There are those who are known as the Fivers, and there are those who are known as the Seveners, and there are those who are known as the Twelvers. Those who believe only in five Imams, they are known as the Zaydiyah, or given other names as well. Then there are those who believe in seven Imams only. They are mainly who are known as the Ismailis. And amongst the Ismailis, again, you have different groupings, the Aga Khanis and the Dawoodi Boras and the Khojas and so many other groupings. Then we have the Twelvers. The Twelvers are who are known as Isna Ashariya or Imamiya. And even there may be certain other groupings as well. So, there will be these different groupings. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam predicted they will come. But not necessary that all of them will exist at the same time in the world. Doesn't mean that all 72 groups will be existing at one time. There may be at certain times one group or few groups that are dominant, other times other groups are dominant, and so on. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say that all these groups will exist at one and the same time. Then, as far as these groupings are concerned, there are two divisions that we can do as far as these deviated groups are concerned. This was explained by one of the senior ulama, one great Sheikh al-Hadith of the time. When he came to South Africa, he explained by way of an example that he says that you take two circles, a small circle and a big circle. In the small circle is the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then there's a bigger circle. In the bigger circle, we have all these groups and sects, as they are called. But these sects are such that they have deviated beliefs, but their beliefs are not so deviated that it would take them out of the fold of Islam. Undoubtedly, their beliefs are incorrect and wrong and deviated, or which they are going to be deserving of punishment if they do not make tawbah from those beliefs. But they are still within the broader circle of Islam. And then outside of the two circles is those who are completely out of the fold of Islam, like the other religions. They would also be considered as a religion other than Islam, like we have Christians and Jews and Hindus and Zoroastrians, fire worshippers and Buddhists and so on, who are completely out of the fold of Islam. Like that, we would have the Qadianis, etc. They're all regarded as outside the fold of Islam altogether. So, this is another important explanation or a point to bear in mind and to consider as far as these deviated groups are concerned. So, the ulama have tried to explain the different types of groupings that have appeared in the different eras of Islam. And among them, some of the groups that they have mentioned, for example, I mentioned already about the Khawarij. The Khawarij are people who initially supported Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but later on they opposed him as well. And in fact, they began to oppose every one of the Sahaba. Did not regard any of the Sahaba to be on the truth. In the difference between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they regarded both of them to be deviated, and these are the very people who assassinated Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They made him shaheed. They tried to assassinate Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the very same day they assassinated Sayyidina Ali at Fajr time. But they were unsuccessful in that attempt. So, that is one of those deviated groupings, the Khawarij. Then we also mention about the Shia. And the Shia have various views that are incorrect, and this has been explained repeatedly by the ulama at different forums, different platforms, in conferences and seminars and workshops and lectures and talks, Jumma Bayans, and also in the writings, both in the form of books and pamphlets, and which are available on internet as well. So they have explained in great detail what are the major differences between the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Muslimin and the Shia, and also the different groupings, etc. That has all been explained. But there are other groupings, for example, that are not too well known, and as I mentioned, that some of them may not be existing today, or they may not be existing in that particular name, although the ideas are still found, but that name does not exist anymore. For example, there is one grouping that is called the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila was a group that was very, very powerful and very strong in the past centuries. And they were the who we would refer to as the rationalists. Rationalists are people who gave preference to the intellect over certain aspects of revelation. They said, if it doesn't appeal to our intellect, we do not accept it, even though it may be revealed. So they denied, for example, the weighing of deeds. They said, no, deeds are things that are tangible. And something that is tangible, it cannot be deeds are intangible. Sorry, Mona, I think I heard when I said deeds are intangible. Something that is intangible cannot be measured or weighed. Right? So they said, no, there is no such a concept as weighing of deeds.
Yeah.
But the rationalists have been proved mostly wrong in today's day and age with the advance in science and technology. All their theories have been debunked. Because there are many intangible things in today's world that can be measured, for example, temperature, atmospheric pressure, electricity, magnetic fields. These are things that are not visible to the human eye. They are regarded as intangible, but they are measurable. We have instruments to measure these things like thermometers and altimeters and pressure gauges. And all of these things actually measure things that were regarded at that time as intangible things. So they gave preference to reason over revelation. These are the people who also started the fitna of Khalqul Quran, that the Quran is not the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were opposed very strongly at that time by the great Imam of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, for which he was severely tortured, but he stuck to his guns, and alhamdulillah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah prevailed. So those were the Mu'tazilas, the rationalists as they were called. There were other groups, for example, that came, they were known as the Jabariya. Jabariya are those people who denied the fact that man has responsibility for his action and he has a free will. There were those people who were known as the Qadariya, also a deviated group. There were others who were known as the Najariya. This was a group that denied the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were other groups who were known, for example, as the Mushabbiha. The Mushabbiha are those people who attributed human qualities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, they said Allah speaks about His hand and face, and his shin, etc., in the Holy Quran. So they gave this the literal meaning, and they began to equate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with human beings, like having human qualities, human attributes. So this was also a deviated grouping. Then we had, for example, another group that was called the Murjiya. They believed that Iman alone was sufficient and there was no obligation to do any good deeds. And they believed that just as non-Muslims don't benefit from their good deeds, Muslims won't be harmed by their bad deeds. This is also a deviated grouping. Of course, in the latter time now, there have been more groups that have come. In this day and age, we don't have the Mu'tazila, but we have a grouping which is called the Modernists. Modernists are people who deny many aspects of revelation because it is not in conformity with science and modern day science. There are people who make an interpretation of Islam to make Islam fit in with the current times. Instead of us fitting in with Islam, they want to make Islam fit in with their ways and with the current times. So those are the groups that exist in today's time. There's a grouping, for example, the Qadianis are well known people who believe in the existence of a Nabi after our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is outright kufr and disbelief. And under no circumstances can that ever be regarded as Islam. Such people are totally out of the fold of Islam. So, Mawlana, this is just a little explanation of the different sects that exist. May Allah Ta'ala protect our Iman, Ameen. Protect our Aqidah and belief. It's Ameen. Very important for us to know these things, and not only just to know, but to also teach our children, so that they can also be protected and saved from these fitnas. On that note, we conclude the program today.
Wonderful stuff, Mufti Sahib. Jazakallah khairan for your informative discussion. May Allah reward you.
Ameen. Summa ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, it's important to understand these matters, even if you don't understand the details of it, but just to get an idea of what is happening in the world, different deviated sects. You know, it's a real challenge for many people. You go to Pakistan, there's so many groups. You are bound to be caught by one of them. So we make dua that we are caught by the right group. It is so difficult to decipher the right from wrong. And likewise, it is difficult to follow also the proper way. And generally, wherever there's ignorance, then these type of fitnas always arise. Because that's where shaitan pounces, that's where shaitan attacks, where there's ignorance. The minute education comes in, then you see the fitnas start to decrease. But the minute there's ignorance, then you can see shaitan making business, and he is enjoying that market. You find all sorts of bid'ah, all sorts of innovations taking place. And many people who were on the dark side of life, when they saw the light, they made tawbah. And that is why education is so important. So part of these programs, we will be inshallah discussing some of the deviated sects and their beliefs, to educate ourselves and to equip ourselves, and more importantly, to preserve our Iman. May Allah give us tawfiq. It's 9:58.